Matthew 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" I want you to see tonight the question that was asked. The disciples, the Jewish disciples, asked Jesus in verse number 3, "Tell us, comma, when shall these things be?" What things? He had just told them that the temple in which they worshiped would be destroyed, that there would not be one stone upon another. Those were sober words to the disciples, and they asked Jesus, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? There's that question has nothing to do per se with what we call the rapture. They didn't ask Jesus, when are you coming to rapture your church? You say, well, why didn't they ask that question? Because they didn't know anything about the church. God had not revealed to them yet. They did not have that knowledge as mere mortal men. They did not have that knowledge of what Jesus would perform in calling out a Gentile bride. They were concerned with the Jewish nation. They were concerned with the nation of Israel and what God would do with the nation of Israel. So they're asking a question here that has no concern to or not no the Lord. They don't ask the Lord the question privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" They're not asking him, when will the rapture be? They're not asking him, when will the trumpet sound and the dead in Christ rise first? They're not asking him that question. That's not the question that they're asking. The reason they don't ask that question is because they have no knowledge of the fact that the graves are going to burst open. They have no knowledge of the fact that the church, the saved, are going to be taken up in the rapture, that the trumpet's going to sound. They don't know about that. All they know is that Jesus is their Messiah. They believe that much. That's what they believe. They've come to believe that he's their Messiah, and that at some point in time, the age in which they live would come to an end, and that Jesus, their Messiah, would come and set up a kingdom upon which he would reign on the throne in Jerusalem. That's what they're asking. Now I want you to listen, because the answer involves us who are saved. Though they weren't aware of the church when they asked the question, the answer involves all people. Sometimes folks say, "Well, I'd like to be a part of a church maybe where things aren't so serious, and maybe things are a little more lighthearted, and maybe just where the preacher just gave a few more motivational speeches, and maybe just we just had service maybe just once a week." There's a lot of people vote for that, by the way. I don't vote for once a week religion. Amen. Yeah. Hey, boys, what are you looking at over there? Bible? Okay. All right. I don't vote for that. I vote for having church on Sunday morning. I vote for having church on Sunday night. I vote for prayer meeting and Bible study. Amen? And I think that's the way we ought to do it, and I don't believe we ought to change. And though Jesus answered and said unto them, he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." You say, "Preacher, why you got to be so serious? I mean, why can't we be a little more lighthearted? Why can't we just have more emphasis on the music and less preaching? And why do we have to study the Bible? And why do we have to have any kind of standards? Or why do we have to, why can't we just be more casual?" Because the Bible says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Take heed that no man deceive you. I watch some sports every once in a while, and I watch that there's a man standing on the sideline called the coach. And listen, you take a coach that stands on the sideline and all he is a two-bit cheerleader, just having a good time and enjoying the game, he's not a good coach. That coach has to keep the players focused. That coach has to keep the players' mind in the game. And today we have preachers that are more interested in being cheerleaders than what they are in being preachers and keeping the people's mind in the game.
Yeah.
They're more interested in, do the players like me? Do the people like me? Do they enjoy having me as their coach? You know what? Listen, there was a great football coach of years past named Tom Landry. The players used to wonder, does Tom Landry ever smile? And the answer was Tom Landry didn't smile. They used to say, well, Tom Landry doesn't talk to his players. He's not very friendly. And the answer from Tom Landry was, he doesn't get paid to be friends with his players. He gets paid to be their coach. And we've got parents today that want to be their children's best friend. We've got people today that want to be everybody. They want everybody to like them. But listen, that's not what's going to keep you out of trouble. You need somebody that'll keep you focused on what's going on around you, brother. And we live in a world today of Christians that have lost their focus. People are more interested in having a good time and having a picnic and a little party and a little feel-good motivational speech than what they are in having their focus tuned. I want you to understand that Jesus said, take heed. He said, listen, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be fooled. I was at the hospital yesterday, and I'll tell you real quick, a young girl come by, and she said, oh, I'm lost. She said, I need to get to Nicholas County. And I said, you do? And she said, yeah. She said, I need to get to Clendenin first. I said, boy, I said, that don't figure. That don't sound right. And she was all nervous, and I just didn't feel like the story was right. Amen. I didn't want to get involved with it. I didn't want to be a part of it. I felt like it was something trying to be pulled over my eyes. And listen, I don't want to be deceived. Amen. I don't want to get knocked in the head. I don't want to get shot by somebody just because I'm blind to the, if it don't feel right, I don't do it. Amen. Right. If it don't seem right, I don't mess with it.
That's right.
So, but preacher, you ought to just help everybody. Hey, you better watch out. You can't help everybody. Amen. Because
right.
Some folks will help themselves to your life. Amen. Right. You got to watch. You got to watch. And Jesus right. said, he said, be sober. He said, be vigilant. He said, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Brother, listen, the Bible said, for many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Boy, listen, who are those many? Those are antichrists. They're antichrist. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. The Bible says, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines. What does that mean, famines? That means that there'll be a lack of food. How many of you, you got food at home in the refrigerator? You got food at home in the pantry? You got food to eat? Listen, there are places right now where there are people that do not have food. You say, preacher, that'll never happen in America. But the Bible shows us here that there'll be a time of famine. There'll be a time when there's no more food to eat. There'll be a time when you can't go to McDonald's. The McDonald's won't have cheeseburgers. There'll be no more French fries. Listen, there'll be no more cereal in the cupboard. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me? You're right. Right. Listen, I want to get your attention tonight. I want you to understand tonight that there is coming a time of famine on this earth, a time in America even. Yea, in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, the land that has said no to God, the land that has said we don't want to have anything to do with God, the land that has said we're going to let the homosexuals tell us what to do. We're going to let the sodomites kiss each other and have their way, and we're going to promote abortion and murder of babies. That same country is losing the blessing of God, and we're losing the goodness of God, and we're going to see famine in this country someday. There's hard times coming to our land. But listen, I'd still rather be an American than anything else. Listen, I'm first of all a Christian, and I'm thankful for my country. But I'm going to tell you tonight that we've got people in our leadership in this country that deny God and deny the Word of God. They don't love Israel. They don't love the God of the Bible. And they're dooming and destroying our country. And I'm glad that I got a heavenly home.
And if you don't have a heavenly home tonight, you better listen to the message. If you've got somebody you love tonight, that you consider them your loved ones, your friend, you care about them, you better listen to the message. Why? Because if they stick around here, this old world is headed for a time of famine.
Right, preacher.
Pestilence, the Bible says. There shall be pestilence. What does that mean? Pestilence, that's talking about all kinds of diseases. That listen, brother, listen, I want you to understand that there are diseases right now that they don't have the cure for them. There's a disease called AIDS, a pestilence, a disease called AIDS, that there's no cure for AIDS. Listen, AIDS didn't exist when I was born necessarily, but about when I was about 4 or 5 years old, they came along a disease. And back in the 70s, there were folks that said, we can live any way we want to. We can do anything we want to do. God's not going to tell us what to do. Our mom and daddies are not going to tell us what to do. We'll do what we want to do, and we'll do it when we want to do it, how we want to do it, whatever we want to do. And long about the 80s, God sent a disease called AIDS.
Right.
So, preacher, what is AIDS? Hey, for one, it's a disease, first of all, that afflicts the sodomites. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I don't like that. Listen, you say, that's hate speech. That's not tolerant. It's a fact, either like it or not.
Amen. Right.
It's a disease that affects promiscuity. You say, well, I know good people that got it. That's right. That's because anytime you got that kind of wickedness going on, it's going to affect good people.
Right.
It's going to affect everybody. That's why I'm against it. That's why I don't understand preachers. That's why I don't understand Christians that are tolerant of it. I don't understand a Christian that'll sit in their living room and let faggots and freaks sit on there and kiss each other and let their little boys and girls see that and let them think it's all right to live that way. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's an abomination before God. It's wrong and it's wicked and it's ungodly. Shame on us as Christians for letting ourselves be duped by that foolishness.
That's right.
It's a shame unto God. It's wicked and ungodly. But listen, you say, but preacher, you're not with the times. You're right. You're so right. You're so right. I'm not with the times. I'm with this book right here. And I know what the times have brought on us. There's pestilence. There's all kinds of diseases. Listen, because people are living a vile, wicked life. They're doing wicked, ungodly things and vile things with themselves. And it's bringing upon diseases. And it's people, those diseases are spreading to everybody. We live in a time of pestilence.
Right.
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. I'm glad I'm going to a place where there's no pestilence. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to a place. I want to mix that in there. I'm just going to keep reminding you of that I'm going to a place where there's plenty of food. Amen. I'm going to a place where there's no pestilence. There's no diseases there. But listen, there won't be no sodomy there. There won't be none in the millennial reign either. That 1,000 years, listen, if there's any sodomites and God catches them, and He'll catch them, friend, listen, I guarantee you this, they'll be scooped out of that millennial kingdom and they'll be cast into hell instantly just like that. Say, preacher, how do you know that? God's a loving God. He's right. You're right. He's a loving God. And He'll love His Son died for that sin just like He did in every other sin. And if that sinner will come to Jesus Christ and confess his dirty, wicked sin and say, God, forgive me for my wickedness, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin.
Right.
But brother, all things are passed away. I mean, all things become new and you become a new creature in Christ. You're not going to live that life anymore. That's an ungodly life, and you won't continue in that sin.
That's right.
Preacher, what about my friends? You better fall on your face and pray for your friends that are in that. You better pray for them. Quit playing with them. Quit messing around with them. And pray for them because they're headed for hell.
Right.
Well, listen, I didn't feel like preaching a few minutes ago, but while I'm at it, I'm going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, if I got to be here, I'm going to stand here and preach the Word of God. You say, preacher, you're hurting my feelings. I'm trying to save you from the eternal fires of hell tonight.
Right.
I promise you tonight, there is a hell. There's coming a time of famine on this earth. There's coming a time of pestilence on this earth. The Bible goes on. It just keeps compounding the problem. The Bible says there'll be earthquakes. Say, preacher, I don't like earthquakes. We've already seen earthquakes. Over in Japan, there was an earthquake and a tsunami, and that hit that nuclear power plant, and several people died because of that. Hundreds of people died, and hundreds more will die. Right now, there's bodies washing ashore in California that are part of that big mass, and they've spotted it there several miles wide of bodies and ships and all kinds of things floating from Japan as they were all swept by that tsunami. Listen, right now, from here down toward Tennessee, there's 6 nuclear power plants that are located directly on top of a fault line that could at any time erupt into an earthquake and set ablaze those nuclear. Friend, listen, America's in a bad shape tonight. America's in a shape tonight where America ought to fall on her face before God and say, God, help us. Instead, we're thumbing our nose at God, and we've got preachers that won't preach the word of God, and they're fed up and they give up and they won't preach to the people. They're worried. I'm not looking at anybody tonight for anybody's approval. Yes, you say, preacher, I don't like the way you're preaching. I ain't looking at you for one. And if you don't like it, you don't got to listen to it. You can leave, but while you're here, I'm going to preach it. So I won't come back. It's all right. There ain't many people here anyway. That's easy enough. And I preached something nice this morning. Hey, you know, I preached a 45-minute sermon about Jesus Christ this morning and lifted Christ up. And folks, I guess that's good enough for me. Don't threaten me with not coming back. Friend, listen, I can preach on the rose of the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon, the bright morning star, and folks still stay home and watch television. I'm going to say to you tonight, listen, and the Bible says here that there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. It says there'll be famines and pestilence, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Who's he talking about here? He's talking about the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. He's talking to them here. And he said, then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What's he talking about there? He's talking about those Jews there that endure that tribulation period. And how I'm going to show you, listen, there's 2 kinds of salvation we're going to deal with tonight. And I want you to see that you don't want to be that crowd that endures to the end. You don't say, preacher, I'm going to endure. I'm not enduring tonight. I'm saved and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when that trumpet sounds, I'm going out of here. Amen. Brother, listen, I'm going to a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. When Jesus Christ calls, I'm coming home, amen. I'm not going to say, wait a minute, Jesus, I got a party planned down here. I'm going to wait a while. I said a moment ago, if the Lord comes on Christmas Day, half the Christians will be disappointed. I ain't have a party yet, Lord. Listen, don't come on Christmas. Friend, listen to me tonight. Listen. The Bible says that, and there shall be false prophets, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're already there, amen?
Yeah.
But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, what gospel? The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The Bible says here, now we're going to see what's going to happen midway through this tribulation period. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. There'll be 3.5 years of peace unlike any other time. There'll be, as our world today, as our economy begins to collapse in America, and as the world economies are collapsing all around us, and as the money no longer means anything, as the dollar becomes devalued, and we're seeing that, and as they get a one world currency, soon there'll be someone stand up that says, I have the answers to the economic problems in Europe. I have the answer to the economic problems in the Middle East. I have an answer to the economic problems in the Americas. I have the answer to the economic problems in the world, and the world will follow after this leader, and they'll accept him, and he'll set himself up as a world leader. He'll say, we have a problem, a major problem in the Middle East. We have a problem with the Jewish people and the Arabic people, and we've got to have a peace accord. And he'll sign peace, and he'll be a friend to the Jew, and he'll be a friend to the Arab, and he'll unite those people, and there'll be peace for 3.5 years. And then in the middle of that 3.5, at the end of that 3.5 years, he'll walk into the temple, and he'll offer the abomination of desolation. He'll sacrifice a pig on the altar. He'll shut the altar down, the sacrifice down. He'll shut the temple down, and he'll say, we're going to worship the God of forces. And the God of forces is my military might, my military strength. He said, I am the only God anybody's going to worship. At that time, the Jewish people, they're going to wake up. I believe some of the Arabic people, the descendants of Abraham, I believe they're going to wake up and realize they've been deceived. And then there'll be preachers that go all around the country, all around the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And they'll say, this is not the true Christ. We've been deceived. This is an antichrist. This is a false Christ. But hey, listen, the true Christ is coming. 3.5 more years of this. 3.5 more years. There'll be people go to the mountains and beg for the mountains to fall on them. There'll be people jump off buildings and they won't be able to die. Listen, during that time, it'll be a time of misery, a time of suffering. The only way anybody's going to be able to eat is if they take the mark of the beast on their forehead, 666 in the back of their hand. Listen, hey, this ain't the movie, amen. This ain't the fairy tale. This ain't Hollywood. I ain't Kirk Cameron tonight. I'm the preacher tonight. And I'm not necessarily saying all that stuff's wrong, but this story doesn't end well, amen. Boy, listen, it'll be a time of misery and suffering and all kinds of wickedness going on. And the Antichrist will be a tyrant unlike any other tyrant's ever been. See, what about us Christians during that time? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Let me get back to that. We'll be up in heaven with Jesus. Amen. We'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be sitting around the throne there. And we'll be there at that long table. And we'll all be feasting with Jesus. And we'll all have the great, at that time, of the judgment seat of Christ where we receive Christ. Crowns for our works that Jesus Christ did in us. And we, at the end of that, we'll take those crowns and we'll cast them at the feet of Jesus and we'll coronate Him as our King, and He'll be our bridegroom and we'll be His bride. And then after the wedding feast is over, we'll jump on those white horses and He'll come down and He'll put down that Antichrist and all the hordes of people that follow Him. He'll kill and slay, and the blood will flow to the horse's bridle during that time. That day's coming, friend. Preacher, you're scaring me. Brother, listen. Hey, you ought to be scared if you're not saved. If you know somebody's not saved, you ought to be concerned tonight. This ain't playtime. This is for real, friend. I'm not up here for my health. I'm killing myself preaching like this. But I'm going to preach like it because I got to shake people and wake people up and cause people to see what's going on. Got the TV generation, the computer generation. Brother, listen, we need some folks to get back to the house of God again and let the preacher stand and preach the hide off of us, and let us be reminded that we live in a wicked, sin-cursed world. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Brother, listen, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse. And the only hope we have is the trumpet sounds and we go up to be with Jesus.
That's right.
I don't want to be here. I'm not going to be here. Amen. I've made the proper preparations and my arrangements are already made. And when Jesus Christ calls, I'm coming home.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I think I'm saved. If that trumpet sounds and all you got is, I think I'm saved, you may be left sitting here while we go up. Say, preacher, I don't want that. I don't want it either. I don't want you to endure that tribulation. I don't want you to have to live in this old wicked world where the devil takes over and all the wickedness and all the ungodliness abounds everywhere and all the Christians are gone and all the goodness is gone. I don't want you to be here. But I know folks that are going to be here. I know some that are lost and they're heading for that time. And all they need to do is accept the blood of Jesus Christ and they can be saved and have a home in heaven. You understand, friend? Listen, I want you to see something just for a minute. The Bible says here, it says, then let him which is in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetops not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither Let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And people say, well, we're already living in the great tribulation. Friend, you have no idea. There's coming a day, and like any day, then we've not been to that day yet. And as bad as it may be in other places, it's not as bad as it's going to be, because my Bible says it'll be a day that never has been nor ever will be that day.
Right.
A day of great tribulation. For such shall be great tribulation. The Bible said, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. That means that everybody would die unless God stops it. Brother, listen, the Bible says, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Who are the elect? When God sets His rage against this whole wicked world, and He sets His fire against it, and He lets man begin to destroy himself. And listen, God can let it go on, but He'll put an end to it because of the elect, because of the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, because He'll look down in the midst of that, and He'll see His people being abused and beaten and tortured by the Antichrist, and He'll look down, and He'll say, enough is enough, and He'll put an end to that. And then Jesus will come back on that sword, riding that white horse with that sharp two-edged sword. Listen, the Bible says, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. The Bible said in verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angel with a great sound, a sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his own elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Who's that? That's those ones that are saved, that have endured the great tribulation, that have heard the preaching, the gospel of the kingdom, and they'll be saved after they've endured great tribulation.
Right.
You say, preacher, that's not talking about the salvation that we're talking about here. Listen, you say, preacher, what do I have to do to be saved right now? Romans 10:9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, friend, you don't got to endure tribulation to be saved. You don't got to put rocks on your shoes and make a journey to Mecca or Jerusalem or anywhere else to be saved. You don't got to afflict yourself to be saved. Jesus Christ was afflicted on Calvary, and to be saved, believe in your heart and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll be saved in a moment. In an instant, you'll be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the gospel of the death and the burial and the resurrection. That's the greatest news this whole world's ever heard, is that Jesus Christ died to save sinners. It's not a process of salvation. I'm saved, sealed, secured, sanctified, set apart. I'm just standing around waiting on Jesus to come. He's coming, friend. And until He comes, I want to preach the truth and give every ounce of energy I got and stand against the devil and stand against the wickedness and stand against all the things of the devil. Friend, I don't ever want to tolerate it. Don't ever let it be said, oh, I like that preacher, he's tolerant. I'd rather die than tolerate the wicked ungodliness that wants to destroy boys and girls and destroy and damn people to the fires of hell. I'm not interested in having a big ministry. I'm not interested in that tonight. I'm interested in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why is the gospel so important? Because the day's coming, the day when Jesus Christ withdraws the grace and He withdraws the Spirit, and the only way they're going to be saved is if they endure the great tribulation. They hear the preaching of the kingdom. They realize they've been deceived. They refuse to take the mark. They can't buy or sell or trade. And they have to hide in the rocks. And they're afflicted and tortured and punished. But friend, if they take that mark, they're doomed to go to hell. The Bible said that that the Lord will send a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie and be damned.
Yeah.
Say, preacher, I'll just wait till then. No, listen, if you hear the truth now and you reject the truth now, you're not going to accept it then. You'll be deceived. That's for those who've never heard the truth. And God will see that there's someone who gets the truth to them and they can hear the truth and be saved. But listen, those who have heard the truth and scoffed about it and rejected it, they'll believe a lie and they'll be damned.
Right.
Say, preacher, I think I'm saved. You still satisfied with that? Are you still secure with that? Say, preacher, I think all my loved ones are saved. Are you sure? Does that seem so good right now? It don't seem so good. Listen, it's your heart. We don't hear much preaching about the tribulation period anymore. We don't hear much about that anymore. And we need to hear it every once in a while.
Amen.
So what couldn't you pick? You're ruining my Christmas. That's exactly, I think, what God wanted me to do, was ruin our Christmas. So I won't have fun going home playing with my toys. I won't have as much fun either. I've got to hear it too. Amen. It's a fact tonight. I'm not preaching a fairy tale. Not one bit of what I said is made up. And it's far worse than what I've said. Brother, listen, all the wicked perverts of this day and all the godlessness of our day and all the atheists of our day, brother, listen, they want to get rid of God. They want to get God out. Someday the Christians are going out. Someday the churches are going out. Someday all the nativity scenes are going out. Someday all the crosses are going to be gone. And brother, listen, they'll be wishing they was back again. They'll be wishing they could find an old leather lung preacher to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And all they had to do is walk on that altar and bow on the mourner's bench and be saved, but that day will be over with for them.
Yeah.
Won't be no churches in that day. Won't be no preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in that day. There'll be the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, and they'll have to endure the tribulation and refuse the mark of the beast and refuse the Antichrist and endure the tribulation.
Yeah.
Say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, take your Bible, turn to Joel. Amen.
Yeah.
Turn to Joel chapter number 2. Verse number 30. I'm almost done. I don't mean the sermon is, I mean me. Amen. Joel chapter number 2, verse number 30. Joel chapter number 2. I want you to see it tonight. Joel chapter number 2, verse number 30. It's important that you see the message. Romans 10:13 says, say it with me. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think about how wonderful that is. To be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do tonight to be saved is call on the name of Jesus Christ. Realize you're a lost sinner and you don't want to die and go to hell and you're not going to play around anymore and nothing else matters. But do I know for sure my home is in heaven? And call on Jesus' name. He'll save you.
Amen.
It's not whether you like me or not, or like what I preach or not. It's whether or not you want to be saved. That's what matters. Joel chapter number 3, chapter number 2 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. There's a difference in being saved and being delivered. That word delivered means that they'll be delivered out of tribulation. I've been saved. That means I'm secured. I'm saved from the tribulation. But these that wait till then, they'll be delivered, the Bible says. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. What is that?
Uh-huh.
That's talking about this, friend. Listen very carefully. That's talking about this, that during that time of tribulation, those who hear the truth preached, those who hear the 144,000, and those aren't Mormons or whatever else, friend.
No.
Those are 144,000 God-ordained, God-sent fireball preachers that'll preach to the four corners of the earth the gospel of the kingdom. And they'll thunder out the gospel of the kingdom. They'll be spat upon. They'll try to kill them. There'll be two prophets that'll preach that time, and they will kill them. And the news media and CNN and Fox and especially MSNBC will be running around jumping saying, "Hallelujah, the prophets of God are dead." And they'll lay on the streets dead, and then God will bring them up and they'll get to preaching again. Amen. And there'll be 144,000 preachers preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And there'll be Jews getting saved. And there'll be descendants of Abraham getting saved. And descendants of the people of God, they'll be getting saved at that time. Those who believe not the lie, who never heard the truth, they'll be getting saved. And they'll believe it. But in order to be saved, what they're going to have to do is escape the Antichrist. They're going to flee to Jerusalem and flee to Mount Zion. They're going to flee to God. They're going to endure persecution. Say, "Preacher, I'm ready for that." You're speaking like a fool speaks.
That's right.
Brother, listen. I hear folks say, "Well, I'm storing up. I'm getting ready. I'm saving my rations up. And I got my AK-47. I got my compound. I'm ready."
Yeah.
Brother, listen. That mid-trib doctrine, that kind of stuff like that, that's foolish. You're playing around with something God laid out clear cut. They ain't nobody going to fend off. When God pours out His wrath on this world, ain't nobody going to pull out an AK-47 and defend themselves. It'll be a time of suffering. It'll be a time of misery. It'll be a time of pestilence, a time of famine. You say, "Preacher, the air is bad." You wait to the end. You won't even be able to breathe because the germs and the vile wickedness will be all over the place. You touch something, you come down with a disease, it'll kill you. Pestilence, the air will be defiled. All these tree huggers and all this stuff like that, then they shut down everything. Brother, listen, it'll be a time of unimaginable wickedness. People will be dying everywhere. Hospitals will be shut down. Dead bodies piled up everywhere. You want to be here? Not me. I can say with a big smile on my face, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not looking for deliverance. I'm not looking to get delivered out of the tribulation. I'm saved from it. I'm saved from the wrath to come in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. I'm saved from the day of the Lord. I'm saved from the wrath of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ bore my sins on Calvary and I fall prostrate before His face and accept the gift of what He did. And I fall before Him and I accept Him and I trust in Him and I lean wholly on Jesus' name. All on the ground is seeking, saying, "Only to Jesus' name I lean." My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You see, I'm not looking for some preacher preaching the gospel of the kingdom and resisting the Antichrist and refusing the mark and suffering persecution and enduring to the end. I'm looking to the fact that Jesus Christ despised the shame and endured the suffering that was set before Him and looked ahead to the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. He endured for me on Calvary. He took my stripes and He was bruised for my iniquities and my sins was laid on Him. And I looked to Calvary and I put my trust in Him and I can stand here today and shout hallelujah. My Amen. Sins are gone, 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 gone. All my sins are gone.
Amen.
And if the trumpet sounds right now and Jesus comes, I'm going up with Him.
Yeah.
Because I'm saved.
That's it.
If I die, I'll be absent from the body, but I'll be present with the Lord. My body will be taken out to the grave somewhere, to the resurrection ground. And when resurrection morning comes and the trumpet sounds, I'm coming out. Amen. And I'll look back and one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to look back and say, "Oh grave, where's your victory? You thought you had me. But listen, greater is in me than he that's in the world. And the grave can't keep me down." And the saints of God who died and go on to the grave, they'll look back at the grave and say, "Grave, oh death, where's thy victory?" And those that are saved will look at death and say, "Oh death, where is thy sting?"
Yeah.
Brother, the sting of death is gone in Jesus. And the victory of the grave is gone. My head's bowed and eyes closed tonight.
Good preacher. Amen.
Anybody here tonight, first of all, you know you're saved. But there's somebody that you know that as far as you know, they're not saved. Won't you pray for that person right now?